Calvinist, and but the God sets up things, and when it's in the Word of God, when it's there, it's set up, and it's going to come to pass. And then Revelation chapter 3, you'll find the seven churches, and it's three of them in chapter 2, and then or four of them in chapter 2, and then three of them in chapter 3. And I told you this last time, we're in chapter 3 and about verse 21, 22, and we're about ready, the rapture about ready to take place. John was on the Isle of Patmos, and John was called up to the third heaven, or had a vision, and God showed him, and then the Bible says in chapter 4, he was called up, he was taken out. And now what we believe and what we teach is that the rapture, after the church, the rapture takes place. And then all hell breaks loose on this earth. And the book of Daniel goes right along with it, and then, you know, goes hand in hand with the book of Revelation. But in the greatest time period that this world's ever seen for missionary efforts and souls being saved is the Philadelphian church age. And that's in chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, and that is true, he that is true, and he that hath the keys of David, key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth." God opens doors. That's what we believe in praying for. Praying God opens doors and God shuts doors. And I always tell people, say, God, pray God open the door. But sometimes the doors, you could have a couple of doors open at the same time and say, "Lord, what door should I go through? What should I do?" And I've had those things happen in my life. And then I've said, "Lord, I want to do what's right." And even though that door's open, I don't believe that was the one. I believe that I ought to just wait on you. And the Bible tells you to wait on the Lord, be of good cheer. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And a lot of times doors can, they can be more than one. He says, "I know thy works." Look at verse 8. "I know thy works, and behold, I set before thee an open door, and no man can shut." Now, the Church of Philadelphia had a door open that no man could shut it. And it was the greatest time for missionary efforts that the world's ever seen. That was about from 1500 to 1900. And this is a great period. I mean, everything. You think about this. Industrial age, the agricultural age, the scientific revolution. All these things took place and came up. And, man, it just things got opened up. And America was able to, America was founded. And America was able to feed the world and help the world and take care of things. And God raised up America. But we're going to see in the book of Daniel, America is a type of the Antichrist, type of that thing. America is. And America, even though it's a great nation, great country, but it's a type. It's a type. And Daniel has a dream, or Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and Daniel interprets it. But at this time period, it's God uses the Church of Philadelphia, and we've seen missionary efforts take place. We've seen a man named John Wycliffe in 1324. We've seen John Huss, 1369. We've seen Savannah Rolla, 1452. You've seen William Tyndale, 1500s translated, Peter Waldo. I mean, these are men back in those days before 1500 to 1900. There were some great men that was brought up, and they even carried on into the Philadelphian church age. And they were moved, and they claimed and they believed that the kingdom of God was at hand. And they believed that with all their heart. And the Roman Catholic Church starts, producing and getting more power. And this bunch of people start trying to get more control around the world. And they've been working throughout the ages trying to get more control in the world. And that's why the Pope believes that he should be the main guy. He should be the one that kings bow down to. He anoints and all that stuff. So, but the Philadelphian church age, the devil couldn't stop. He could not stop it. And I've always said this, that the only way God or the devil can destroy a church is get inside.
That's right. Amen.
And when God puts his hand upon a church, the only way it can be destroyed is from within. And that's where Christianity is being destroyed, from within. And that's what the devil's trying to do, destroy Christianity from within. And that's why you've got to pray and stay right and believe the book and believe the old King James Bible and keep going and trusting him. I was telling the guy last night, I said, the King James Bible is the most important book there is. All these other books, they're just commentaries, and they're just falsehoods at times. Where they, as long as they have parts of the King James Bible in there, they have the truth. But then they take away and they add and all that stuff. And the Bible warns you in the Book of Revelation: don't add, don't take away from His book. Don't mess with it. You don't mess with it. Why mess with something that's already perfect? Why do that? Why mess with something that God's put His hand upon? And the church of Philadelphia, I've always prayed this, that our church would be a type of the Philadelphian church. I'm not talking about the one just in Philadelphia. I'm talking about the Philadelphian church age. And you know, God bless that Philadelphian age. Let's read on down. And he says that no man can shut it. He says, thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. See that thing? God is interested in keeping his word. A lot of people can talk about it. They can you know, refer to it, but if they don't keep it, what good is it? You can talk about the Word of God. You can, if you don't live it, then what good is it? Has not denied my name. He says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which they say they are Jews and are not. That was a couple of last chapter. We had people saying they were Jews and are not. Just like Mormons, they claim they're Jewish. Jehovah's Witnesses, they claim they got Jewish in them. The Catholic Church believes that they should have, God's done with the Jews, and the Catholic Church is taking the place of the Jews. You got the worldwide Church of God. They teach that it's called British Israelitism, where they say God's done with the Jews, and we're getting America is what God's blessed, and he has, and America is a type of the Jew now. And a lot of these guys claim a lot of stuff, but there's a lot of falsehood being taught. The Seventh-day Adventists, they claim, parts of this stuff. They teach salvation by works. Different ones, Latter-day Saints, as I said. Mary Baker Eddy, she's a Christian Science. And I don't know what that Tom Cruise, I don't know what that church is, just a bunch of garbage. Where the Tom Cruise, what was the name of that thing? Scientology. That thing is a mess as well. And it's almost run like the mafia. What I've read about and what I've seen, they almost run that thing like the mafia. And anytime a religion tries to step in there and say that we are the right ones, we are the ones, and we are the Jews, and we are the Jews of this day and time. Now, spiritually speaking, we are Jewish, spiritually speaking, and of Abraham's seed by faith. But we're not physically Jews. We're Gentiles. We're the church of the Gentile, and the Bible said there was going to be a church that was going to have Jews and Gentiles, and that's what we are. And look on down to Revelation chapter 3, and look at verse 9. He says, behold, I make unto thee the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. And so, now, this has a tribulation application. And a lot of people claiming they're Jews and they're synagogue of Satan. They go out and try to kill the Jews, and the Lord's going to have to come back in Revelation 19 and rescue them. And look at verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, this tribulation application. And I told you, Revelation is in the book, in the church age here, you got three applications. You got historical. There were seven churches in the past in Asia Minor. You got spiritual. We're living right now in the Laodicean period. That's the spiritual age. And the tribulation, doctrinally, there's going to be a church of Philadelphia. And God's going to do something. You say, what is that? That's the 144,000 Jews going out preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And they end up paying for it with their lives. He says, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will make a pillar in the kingdom of the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. And he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, here we are in the Laodicean realm. I'll read this, and we've already covered a lot of this before. He says, unto the angel of the church of Laodicean write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. The Jehovah's Witnesses try to use that and say that's the beginning of God, Jesus Christ, a small God, a small g. They try to say that, but it says the creation of God, not Jesus Christ. It's the creation. Jesus Christ was at the creation. And he says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold nor hot. But so then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So the Lord doesn't like lukewarmness. He says, you're either cold or you're hot.
Amen.
I'd rather be hot.
Amen.
I don't want to be cold. Why? Cold is called hardness. When you're hot, you're more pliable.
Amen.
When you're cold, it's just dead. When it's hot, it's moving. And look at this. I know thy works, and thou neither cold nor hot, and I would that thou were cold nor hot. And so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase of goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold. That's what everybody's on TV saying. Buy gold, buy gold, buy gold. God says, buy gold. Buy gold. What's gold in the Bible? Is your faith. Have faith in God. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. That's why the devil fights you about reading the Bible, about praying, about coming to church, just about anything when it's connected with the word of God. He'll fight you over that. And it's a battle. That's why the Bible says to put on the whole armor of God. And we're in a battle. And he says, I'm trying to finish through this. And he says, so then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I've had people say, well, if God says he don't want us to be lukewarm, I just stay cold. I said, why you want to be that? Why would you want to be cold? Towards God, towards the things of God? Why would you want to be cold? And there's a lot of Christians now. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of Christians that's cold.
Amen.
And they're out. Or they're sitting, some of them sitting in church. They're cold as ice. And they don't have no effects, no feeling, no nothing. God couldn't reach them unless he takes a sledgehammer and breaks them. It says, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increase of goods, I have need of nothing. Knowest not thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve. He says, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and be zealous therefore and repent. So this tribulation application, he says, clothe yourself, have some clothing and that your nakedness is not shown. It's tribulation. It applies in there. And when you read chapter 4 and then you go through chapter 5, chapter 6, you hit the tribulation and you go through the whole tribulation chapter 6 one time. And then you go chapter 7. And 8 and 9 go on, and you go through the tribulation about 3 times through the book of Revelation. But let's read on. He says in verse 20, and here's this church is Jesus Christ is standing outside. In the other church, he says, I open doors no man can shut, and I shut doors no man can open. And here the church kicks God out. And that's where we're at in America. God's kicked out. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him, sup with him, and he with me. And that's showing you, man, a person has God inside of him. And he said, I'll come in to him and sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath the ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, this thing finishes up to seven churches. And then we go into chapter 4, and you're stepping into another realm. In chapter 4, when you step in another realm, he says, look what verse 1 says. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Now, there's a lot of doors. There's gates. The Bible talks about gates. There's doors. There's windows in the Bible. And God says, I open a door in heaven. What we're looking for a door opening up in heaven, and the Lord steps out and says, come up hither. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for that day when the Bible calls the rapture, or the Bible doesn't call it the rapture. We do, but it's called the catching away. And look what it says. And John says, after this, I looked. This is after chapter 1, 2, and 3. He says, after this, I looked, And there was a door open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So John, he's already has a vision, chapter 1, and then God says, all right, I want you to come up in the vision. He says, come on up here. I want to show you something. He said, I'm going to show you something that's going to come to this earth that you ain't going to believe. And John gets in that vision, he gets caught up. And look what the Bible says. He says, come up hither, and I will show thee things must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So what John's doing, the door's open. I mean, the camera's there, man. He's showing you, through the word of God, he's going to show you what the Bible says that the Lord's already got prepared for this earth and what's in heaven and what's coming. And he says in verse 3, He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardis stone. And it says there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And around about the throne was 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. People say, who are those 24 elders? There are 24 of them. Who are they? They're probably the apostles and probably some of the prophets. 24 elders, who are these 24 elders? Sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightning, thundering voices, and there were seven lamps and a burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, you said, wait a minute, I thought God only had one spirit, the Holy Spirit. That's part of the Trinity. But there's seven spirits of God. They go out and they do a work, and they do different things. And the Bible tells you that in Isaiah, the seven spirits of God, the spirit of wisdom, spirit of understanding, those seven spirits of God that God gives. And look at verse 6, and where it says, and behold, the throne was like a sea of glass, like on the crystal. And in the midst of the throne, around about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes, and before and behind. And the first beast, which was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had the face of a man. And the fourth beast was as a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings. And it says about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that live forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So John is giving you a picture of what's going on around the throne, what's happening there. With the four beasts, and those four beasts, you say, are they cherubims? No, they're seraphims, and they got six wings, and they're giving God glory. The 24 elders fall down before him. Up in heaven, they're not wringing their hands, worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. They're not worried about it. Now, take your Bible, look in Daniel. Look in the book of Daniel. Look in Daniel. Down here is another story. God's not worried about it because God's already got it set. Now, I'll read this to you. And Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And take your Bible, look in Daniel chapter 4. I love this, man. This is good stuff. This is good stuff. And look what the Bible says in Daniel chapter 4. He said, Nebuchadnezzar the king, and all people, nations, and languages dwelling on all the earth, peace be multiplied on you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought towards me. And he's saying, these signs and wonders, he said, isn't Nebuchadnezzar a Gentile? Yeah, but the Jews are there. And signs and wonders go with the Jews. But then there's going to be signs and wonders God's going to bring upon this earth. He says, how great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation. And I thought about how many generations has there been from the beginning of time. And the Bible says in Psalms, be 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations. He says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the vision of my head troubled me. Therefore, I made a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon, before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Now, Nebuchadnezzar still is not convinced, or he still doesn't believe in the God of Daniel yet. I mean, he knows he's there, but he doesn't believe in it, because he says, he makes a statement, he says, my God, I've got my God, and Daniel come in, and he's got the spirit of the holy gods, little g, and he doesn't know God yet, and God's getting ready to show him who he really is. And look at this. And it says, then came the magicians, the astrologers, and Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them that they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God. See that thing? Nebuchadnezzar saying, he said, my God, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, talking about Daniel. And he said, before him I told the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, master of magicians, because I know the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, no secret troubleth thee. No secret troubleth thee. He said, tell me the vision of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. And the tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached into unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. And the leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much. And it says, it was meat for all the beasts of the field had shadows under it. And the fowls of heaven dwelt in the broth thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the vision of my head upon my bed, behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. A watcher. Who's the watcher? There's an eye up on high watching you. There's a watcher. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit, let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the root, leave the stump of his root in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass. Notice the iron and brass. When the Bible says in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel told him about the image, he said the image, the legs were iron, and then it says it was partly clay and iron, the toes. He says that tree, and what I'm trying to show you tonight, that Babylon, that tree, when it, Daniel chapter 2, I told you it's still going on. The image of the beast, the Bible says, is still in progress. It's still moving on. But Babylon, he said, you are the tree. Babylon is still in progress. That's what Rome has. Rome is adopted the Babylonian type worship, a Baal worship. And they've taken that. And he says, put a brass around it, so the tree, that's what they did to keep a tree alive. He says, trees there, and with fair, and look on down, nevertheless, leave the stump of the root in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the grass of the earth. Now he's talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Let his heart be changed from man's heart, let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass. So y'all know this. What happened was Nebuchadnezzar turns into a wild animal. Why? Because after a year, it says 12 months, he walks into Babylon and he says, is this not great Babylon that I have made? And God speaks to him and tells him, you're going to be out in the field 7 years. And look at, let's read on down. Verse 17, this matter is my decree of the watchers saying this, and the demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent that the living may know that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men. I've read this to Jesse today. It says, the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over the basis of men. You think, how in the world could they be in office? How in the world could they get that? God says, okay, I'll let them. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. And the king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not this dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belshazzar answered and said, My Lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose heights reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, it was meat for all under the beasts of the field, under which the beasts of the field dwell, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heavens had their habitation. It is thou, O king, thou art grown, become strong, and thy greatness is grown and reaches unto heaven. He says, thy dominions to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher, a holy one coming down from the heaven, saying, hew down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the root thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass. Every kingdom after Babylon fell, built upon Babylon. Every kingdom, the Medes and the Persians, the Greece and Rome. Rome built on top of Babylon. They built, not in a physical spot, but they built their religion and their belief upon Babylon. And it says, this is the interpretation, this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King, that they shall drive thee from men. He's telling them, this is what's going to happen to you. And so why? So Nebuchadnezzar would know who God is. He says, and they shall drive thee from men, and the dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. See that thing? The heavens do rule. So who's going to win the election? Who's going to be in office? It's going to go along with this book. That's who's going to get in. Is it? We can pray and ask God to be merciful to us, be merciful to this country, but everything's going to work out. I'm not a Calvinist, but it's going to work out the way God wants it to work out. It's going to come to pass. Why? So Scripture can be fulfilled. When Jesus Christ was on this earth, he said, I pray not that I be delivered. He didn't want to pray that he'd be delivered. He said, I'm praying that the cup pass from me. He didn't want to be sin. He didn't want to become sin, but he drank that cup in the wrath of God, and he drank the wrath of God. But when it comes down to the kingdoms of men, you say, what about Adolf Hitler? What about Mussolini? What about all these other men? God allowed that. God allowed it. He allowed these things to happen. And because, why? Because people reject it. When people reject the truth, God allows things to happen, even in your own personal life. Now, this thing here is to fulfill the Scripture that, man, the kingdom of the Antichrist is coming. So we can pray all day long and say, Lord, don't let the Antichrist come. Don't let the Antichrist come. He's coming. He's coming. Why? To fulfill Scripture. It's all in God's, in His Word. When God wrote it down and God writes it down and says, this is the way it's going to be, and that's what's going to happen. And John is on the Isle of Patmos, and then God says, come up hither. I'm going to show you what's going to happen in the future. So this thing is set. It's going to happen. What we have to do, you got to get in line with God. You just got to get lined up. You say, isn't that Calvinism? No. No, it's God's foreknowledge. And God's foreknowledge, he wrote down, he told John, here's what's going to happen, and things going to happen. And you say, God, please protect us. And the Lord said, all right, I've already taken care of that. I'm going to protect my children. I'll take care of my kids. And he's going to protect you. And you can trust him. And look what it says. He said, whereas they commanded to leave the stump. And then it says, verse 27, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, that it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. He said, so you can have some peace before you end up dead, that you'll get to know who God is. He said, break off your sins, quit all this stuff, and get right. Get right with God. Nebuchadnezzar ends up believing there's a God, knowing there's a God. His son comes along, and God divides the kingdom. And God told David and that he wasn't going to take him out of the kingdom, and he was going to split it from his son. So it's all the way down through the Word of God when you study this thing. Look at verse 28. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of his kingdom, of Babylon. And the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom of my might, and of, by the might, my might and my power, for the honor of my majesty? He said, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and the dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, and so on. So Nebuchadnezzar ends up finding out who God really is, and he comes back and look at chapter 4 and look at verse 37. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, look what he says. After he gets back and gets back into his kingdom, he said, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor, the King of heaven, and all whose works are true, and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to what? You know what he was doing? He was walking in pride. Now, I told you I was going to show you about take your Bible, look in Daniel chapter 7. Well, we ain't got time. Well, we have to do that next week. Well, so when John gets called up in the Isle of Patmos, and he gets called up to the third heaven, and this thing, all the way through your Bible, from Genesis all the way to Malachi in the Old Testament, is written down that all these things are going to come to pass. So you read, there's times where it's tribulation passage, there's millennial passage, there's, but none of the Old Testament prophets seen the church age. They didn't see where the Gentiles and Jews would become one. They didn't see that. They didn't see a church. So when Daniel wrote down, he said, man, this is like from boom, from the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar to the end. And talking about the kingdoms. And if you read the book of Daniel, you study it, you find Daniel gives him some prophecy that's still going on right now. So when you read Revelation, we have Revelation chapter 4, and then chapter 5, and then chapter 6. And chapter 6 starts into the tribulation period. And man, it gets, I was telling this guy, Rob, last night, I was showing him stuff and about the Antichrist and about all that stuff. He said, man, this stuff scares me. I said, well, as a child of God, if you grow and you study the Word of God, it shouldn't scare you. You pray for your kids to get saved. You be an example. It should, what it should do is sober mind you, make you sober-minded where you'll live right. And you'll want to see your kids, and you'll be not be hypocrites in front of them. You'll do right, and you'll honor God, and you'll just be a live peaceable of all men and try to win people to Jesus Christ. So this thing's coming down the pike, and you say, can we stop it? You pray for America. Pray God keep America free. And what I was going to show you in Daniel chapter 7 about America tonight, but I didn't get time to do that. But you pray God keeps America free. But it's coming like a freight train, man. It's coming so fast. And everything's moving quick. And if you're going to do something for God, you better do it while you can. Amen. You better do it. And I don't know when it's going to be, but I believe this of all my heart. I believe it's in my lifetime. Amen. And unless the Lord drops me dead tomorrow, I mean, I believe it's in my lifetime. I believe we're going to see the rapture in my lifetime. Amen. And I believe that. You know, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But it's coming quick, man. Things are happening. And around the world, the things that's going on. And you say, well, that's what they were saying in World War II. And when Mussolini and Adolf Hitler and then the Japanese emperor and all that stuff. But we're now, you're now dealing with a Jewish nation. You're now dealing with when the Lord told about the prophecy about the Jew becoming a nation. And here we are almost, they became a nation in 1948. Here we are getting ready to hit, 50 years, 60 years, 60 years, almost 70 years. We're getting close. We're getting, and so we're getting close, man. We're getting close. And that's why you need to try to be a witness to your family, see them saved. I don't know, like I said, I don't know when. I don't know when, but I believe it's in my lifetime. Now, Brother Bilbo told me it was in his lifetime. He believed it was in his lifetime. He believed he was going to live to see the rapture. Now, that didn't happen. But it's getting tighter and tighter and tighter. The noose is getting wound up. And here, I told Rob last night, I said, isn't that something? The Antichrist is going to be a Syrian Jew. And here we got just, you know, in the last year and a half, 2 years, the open borders to the Syrians. Isn't that wild? And then the Syrian, then all of a sudden these, you got these princes and everything come to America to be trained. And boy, I wish we had time to get into stuff, because, but we'll do it next week. All right, let's take a prayer request tonight.